Welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is Weekly Reads number 51, and a couple things to talk about. I've recently started reading. This is not an epic collection, but it feels and looks exactly like an epic collection. It's called Cloak and Dagger: Shadows of Light. It's the first volume. And a little history with Cloak and Dagger. I actually picked these issues up when they first appeared, actually not their first appearance, but maybe their third appearance, off of the spinner rack at the drugstore way, 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 way back. And I loved it. Like, I was like, man, this Silvermane is a crazy, crazy dude. And then these guys were pushing drugs. They were doing experimental drugs on children, and they got Cloak and Dagger, and they manifested powers based on those drugs. And I was just different. It felt different. It feels really weird now, revisiting it, because I remembered Silvermane to be more of a badass. Like, they killed Silvermane, but his doctor resuscitated him, and he went on a rampage, but he was defeated by Spider-Man and Cloak and Dagger. So they appeared in Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, way back in the day. And they had like this weird symbiotic relationship, like one needed the other, but they didn't really show it as much until later on, until their miniseries. But what I want to talk about is I read a two-parter. This wasn't when they first appeared. I reread that stuff. But I started with number 81 of Spectacular Spider-Man, and I read number 82. And the thing I was really excited about is I've been watching the Daredevil series, and it has Punisher and Elektra in it, and this also had Punisher. And I was really curious to see how he is depicted in this particular book, because he's depicted a lot of different ways, and I find the character fascinating. This one, he had to break out of jail, and he broke out of jail with the help of Boomerang. And Cloak and Dagger were doing their thing, you know. They try to cleanse the poor kids that are put under drugs. Like, Dagger is able to, like, cleanse the drug out of their system, which is a pretty interesting power. Cloak is very weird. It's like he just puts them in his cloak and then, like, sucks the life out of them, and they turn paranoid. So it's like one helps and one is death. It's like light and darkness. But in this series, they don't really go off of, like, Cloak being like a soul vampire, or you know, using him as energy, but that comes in later. So in this story, Cloak and Dagger find out that the Kingpin is behind the selling of the drugs. And Spider-Man knows that these kids will kill, and he's always trying to prevent it. He's not trying to arrest them, he's trying to prevent it. But the Punisher is also using these kids like as a trail to get to the Kingpin to kill him. And he's letting them do all the hard work. So, like, there's one scene where the Punisher follows these kids, and they had purged, like, Dagger had purged the drugs out of the kids' systems. When they say kids, I mean teenagers and their kids in their 20s. They're not, like, little children, but they're still young. And she left them in, like, this warehouse or alleyway, and then Punisher went in there and just gunned them all down. He killed them all. So they were, like, mad at Punisher for causing death to these kids that they were trying to rehabilitate. But they were also after death for Kingpin for distributing the drugs to these kids. So they go about on their way to try to go after Kingpin. The Punisher follows them to the Kingpin's lair. Spider-Man is there trying to stop Cloak and Dagger from killing the Kingpin. Actually, more or less trying to stop. He's trying to warn the Kingpin. He actually gets there first. And he also tells those... He also tells Kingpin, hey, you know, these kids have powers, you gotta watch out for them. Well, they actually come after Kingpin, and he actually escapes, but goes into the other room, and the Punisher's there. And he's like, well, I have the. Before that, he's talking to Spider-Man, I have this whole place armed to the teeth. There's no way they're gonna get through. Well, all the guards are, you know, gone by the time he looks at the camera monitors. And he's like, holy crap, I better get away. So when he gets away, Cloak and Dagger confront him. He gets away through this like a hidden sliding door. He goes in the other room. Punisher's there, and he's ready to kill him. But Kingpin throws his like strength tantrum, and throws a sofa at him and beats him to a pulp. And that's how it ends. And the next issue is not a Cloak and Dagger issue, so it's not in this trade. But I really want to find out what it is, because it has what's going to happen to the Punisher. And also, one of the threads going on in the story is Black Cat's in the hospital, so Peter's really concerned. He's going to the hospital a lot to check her out. There's also some other character, like a cop character. I don't know what she is. Looks like she's in a nurse's outfit, but she has a holstered weapon, so I wonder what the hell that's about. But really, really good issues. It's by Bill Matlow. It does the story on this one, and Al Milgrom and Jim Mooney are on art. And then that led me into the mini series, and this is where this gets dark. This is also the same writer with Bill Matlow and Rick Leonardi is doing the pencils with Terry Austin inks, and at this time DeFalco, who's one of my favorites lately, and Jim Shooter were the editor and the editor in chief. So this opens up with the priest walking down a part of New York where there's just pimps and drug addicts and alcoholics, a bad part of town, and he's just wondering like where this place gone. And one girl comes up to the priest, and she's got these tiny shorts, and she's like, "Save me, priest." And then a guy with a punk rock haircut says, "And save me some when you're done, holy man." And he goes into his church. It's in this bad part of town, and Cloak and Dagger are kind of there seeking sanctuary. And he finds out that these guys have been dealing vigilante justice, and he doesn't like it. So he calls the cops, but he doesn't call the cops on Cloak and Dagger. He just calls to see what's happened to their victims and learn more about them. And he says, "You're seeking sanctuary. You know, I'm not gonna report you guys." Meanwhile, a detective who I really like is there, and she sees a bunch of guys who have been decimated by Cloak. It's like their life has been sucked out of them, and she's like, "What's going on?" So she's trying to figure out what's happening, and she also doesn't like that a lot of runaways go to New York, and it's a dangerous place for runaways to be because, you know, pimps and gangs and everybody, they like almost like wait for people to come off the bus, and then they just attack them. And I mean attack them like, "I'll give you some food, I'll give you some stuff." Well, that's exactly what they do, and she follows these two blonde kids as they get off the bus. They ran away from home because they were being abused by their parents, and the father was abusing the wife, and it was just a bad situation. So they left with no plan, no money, the money that they had in their pockets, and that was it. And the sister's asking, "Well, what are we going to do for food? What are we going to do?" And they run into these guys, and they kind of like lure them in, like, "We'll feed you, you know, we'll give you some Kentucky Fried Chicken in a bucket, and just come up." And they actually go up there, and then there's like, it looks like they're gonna rape the girl and beat the shit out of the kid. I don't exactly know, or turn them into both into like prostitutes of some sort so they can make money for them. Sorry, I have to take a glass of water. And the detective is watching this, like she's gonna come in at the right time, but Cloak and Dagger show up first, and they start fighting the gang. Cloak sucks the life out of one dude, and they get paranoid. They pull out their guns and start shooting, and a stray bullet actually hits the blonde boy, and he actually dies because of this. So the detective is mad, like, And Cloak is always like, hey, we were dealing out justice. It just so happened a stray bullet's not our fault. The detective blames them for, she said, nobody would have been killed if you would have just let me do my job. So that's kind of, the girl, Cloak, I mean, not Cloak, Dagger, she actually feels bad. She's like the conscience of the team because Cloak is like almost like a spirit vampire, a soul vampire. And he's also a teleporter. And she's having a really hard time. They go back to the church, and she's having a hard time dealing with that. Leads us into Cloak and Dagger number two, which is part of the four-issue miniseries by the same creative team. And it's really weird. It's there's this guy going into the pharmacy, and he switches out an aspirin for in with one that he has in his jacket. And you learn later on that that aspirin's tainted. He's like going from pharmacies that he's been fired from and tainting the drugs, so people are dying from this. But it also has a scene with Dagger is so depressed with the kids shooting. She's left Cloak, and Cloak feeds off of her light. Like, he turns into a parasite when she's not around. Like, his hunger just goes nuts. They didn't explore that as much when it was in Peter Parker's Spectacular Spider-Man, but now he's like a vampire. He needs her light, or he'll just start going down this really dark path, and that's exactly what happens. He finds a pimp, really weird costume. He's in a green outfit. He's got like cowboy gloves on. He's got a pimp hat with a feather in it. He's got a ponytail, and he's bitch slapping one of his young prostitutes, and he's saying, "Hey, you didn't earn your work, so I ain't gonna give you your drugs." She says, "You get out there and suck some dick, and maybe I'll help you out." He didn't actually say that. I'm just interpreting it. But Cloak gets in there, sucks him in. And then the prostitute starts beating on him, like, what am I gonna do? You just took out my food source. He gives me clothing, he gives me a house, he gives me a place to stay, he feeds me these drugs that I need. And she just starts whooping on him, and Dagger gets there just in time. And what she does is she gets him to release, like, he would have killed this guy, but he releases the pimp, but he's his soul looks like he's devastated, like he's gone. And the prostitute's there like, what am I gonna do? I love Johnny. And she says, no, you're hooked. You know, Dagger says that. She hits him with the light daggers, which cleanses her soul and hopefully gives her some way forward. But really interesting characters in this. And this leads us to them going back to the priest and seeing that the woman that was in the pharmacy earlier had passed away because of tainted aspirin. And that leads them down this path. Okay, we got to find this killer. And they see the cop there. And they run into the cop. The cop fires bullets at them, but they're absorbed by Cloak's cloak. And she's like, you guys are vigilantes. You're as bad as the bad guys. You know, you guys are not helping any. The boy would have been alive if it wasn't for you and that last thing. And they said, no, we're out to help. We were granted these powers because we were to help. And they, yeah, we dish out vigilante justice, but they deserve to die. And she actually tells them like what her theory is on this pharmacy guy. And they she says, you know, attack here, attack here. One's dead, one's really in the hospital. I think the next one's going to be here, and I think it's this guy that's doing it because he was fired from all three pharmacies. Well, they show up at the third, and sure enough, he's tainting baby aspirin. He's out there to kill babies. And this sets Cloak and Dagger rampaging, like they want to kill this bastard. Dagger doesn't even use her daggers on him. She just like punches the shit out of him. But they suck him into the cloak, and he never comes out. A matter of fact, it's weird from a police standpoint because they're gonna have like no way to explain this killer and why he vanished. The detective goes and she goes and grabs the guy as he's being sucked into Cloak's darkness and tries to pull him out. But then she's getting sucked in, and Cloak realizes, I'm gonna eat her soul too. Luckily, Dagger's there to save the situation, or Cloak might have absorbed him, and it's just to be continued. But I thought these were interesting enough to talk about them in detail, because I've always had a fondness for Cloak and Dagger, and I don't remember a lot, even though I read them. I still have these issues. I don't have their first appearance, but I have their second and third and fourth, and then these miniseries. I didn't even realize I didn't have their first appearance, and it's something that I'd like to have, because these characters back in the day, they meant a lot to me, and they're really interesting revisiting now. And the other thing about the Punisher that was fascinating to me is, Frank, I'm watching the Daredevil series, and Frank won't kill anybody that doesn't deserve it, to tell you the truth. And that's been the way he's been dealt with most of the time. But when he gets out of prison, man, he's crazy, man. There's this husband and wife that are fighting, and they're hitting each other, and yeah, the husband's being a little abusive, but he just pulls out his gun and just shoots up their place and hits the guy. But he just shot it up like random firing. He's not like a precision shooter like he normally is. He just going, brrr, he shoots up their place. And then he sees this couple, this lovely couple, walking down the streets of New York with a newspaper over the rain, and the guy misses the trash can when he throws the paper away, saying this is getting too soggy, it's not even helping anymore. He misses the trash can. I think it's by accident, 'cause the trash can's right there. But they get shot at. They don't get killed or hit, but they get shot at. And then he destroys a taxi driver for running a red light. I'm like, this crazy motherfucker. Oh, it's just a crazy, crazy read. And this morning I also read the latest Deathstroke, and oh God, the twists and turns in that book are it is a fascinating read. And the other thing I wanted to point out was Harlequin. I have fallen in love with this book just because the storytelling is threaded much like the 80s and 70s, where they do the triple threat. And I like to say it is they introduce something new, they continue on with the main story thread, and then have something that closing from the previous story thread. And I really like that for a monthly comic. It's the way monthly comics should be written, because it concludes some story arc. It has the main story thread, which makes you want to come back, and then it introduces things for the future. So I just like that mechanism of storytelling. It is awesome. So having said that, I'll get to the Mike M's weekly reads, and this is for October 3rd, 2016 through October 9th, 2016. Again, I use the Netflix ratings, the old ones, because I like them. The new thumbs up, thumbs down just won't work. We have 1, hated it; 2, I did not like it; 3, like it; 4, really like it; and 5, love it. And this must have been a Geek Brunch week, because I could tell, because there's some Image and Valiant and other stuff in there. So I had a 2 out of 5, and you know what's weird? Is I kept buying this guy. So God, I hope it got better. I should have dumped it because I didn't like it. I read 2 issues and didn't like it. Matter of fact, we covered only 1 in Geek Brunch, and I was like, you know what? I gotta keep reading to see if I'm gonna like this. So I read 2 and I still didn't like it. But what it was is I put a note here saying, well, let me go over the highlights. There's a total of 34 books, 7 Valiant, 6 Image, 18 DC, and 3 Aftershock. I put a note here for Horizon 1 through 2, which was an Image book, and I said, I don't know what I read, but it seems like an android coming from Earth to stop Earth from attacking them. And that's pretty much what it was after we discussed it. Bill really liked it. Didn't work for me. We then get to the 3 out of 5s. Scooby-Doo team up. This was an all-dog team up with to save the Golden Age, a dog team in another universe. So it was really good. It was entertaining. Some of these team ups though shoot into the 4 out of 5s. I don't think I've given a 5 out of 5, and they mostly do from Sholly Fish, who's the writer, who I think is amazing, because he caters towards an all ages book, but he has this great DC brain, which he pulls these obscure stuff into the book. Like he'll have like all five Starmen, like all in there, and he'll make this like this weird little reference, and it's like poking those fans that know everything about the DCU. He has obscure Martian Manhunter villains from Detective Comics, all this kind of stuff, and most of them are 4 out of 5. This one he poked around with the dogs of the DC history. Sorry, really thirsty. But yeah, I really like what he's doing. This one I gave a 3 out of 5. The next one also has climbed up the chart, and I talked about it briefly. And I it's so tempting. I'm trying to cut back, but to buy that Harlequin omnibus because I'm enjoying it so much. But there's a Harlequin number 5. This was the rock band Kill Harley's mailman, so she's out for revenge with her own team to go after this punk rock band. And I think I started to here's where it started to build for me. Like I was like starting to fall in love with this book. We then get to the 4 out of 5. So we got The Hunt number 1. It's an image book where a young girl loses her father to a creature and is haunted to her high school years. That one I enjoyed quite a bit. We had a Zenoscope book. Oh, so I had 35. I forgot to put Zenoscope in there. Death Force number 2. It was a new vigilante, which is a cross between Ghost Rider and Punisher. I liked number 1. Like the origin of this character was really good. And then they introduced like this magical villain, like something you'd see in Ghost Rider or Doctor Strange that I was fascinated with. But it kind of went downhill. And I haven't finished it yet, so it might pick up. We have Midnighter and Apollo number 1. It was a great opening train scene of adventure with Apollo and Midnighter taking down a gang. And then they had some hiring magic villains to go out. Someone was hiring magic villains to go in after Midnight, and they had Dr. Bendix, who we actually see in the new Wildstorms book. So I really enjoyed that. The whole mini was pretty good. It had some low points, but for the most part it stayed really consistent. We have Aftershock, Insects number 1 and 2. This is a Victorian wife is being abused by her husband. The servant's having sex with this woman and impregnates like an insect egg inside of her that's later transferred during husband with sex with her husband, which ends up killing him. It's really weird, and the art is beautiful. It takes place in I like the time period, like the Victorian times, and oh man, is it a pretty book to look at. It might not be for everyone. It really worked for me. So we had the next one was Batman 8, Nightwing 8, which is the continuation of the Monster Man story arc. I don't think it was Nightwing 8. I think it was a different. I don't know why I wrote 8. They couldn't have been in sync because Nightwing was launched later. So it was probably a Nightwing 6 or 5 or something like that. But a continuation of the Monster Man storyline, Wayne Watchtowers. They can actually become like entities. This is really cool. Nightwing and Gotham Girl were restored because they were monsters from the previous. The cave that they were in, Batgirl and Spoiler, it actually turns into a monster, and then all the monsters kind of joined into one. It was an interesting arc. I actually bought the hardcover of that to revisit that one reading. Faith 3 and 4 of the mini. This was the Vine Cult with Archer. Axe and Vine, actress, co-workers find out her identity. That was kind of interesting. I like Faith. It gets a lot of shit, but it is a different book that's on the stands, and I think it provides something different for Valiant fans. And you don't often see like non-dark characters anymore, and Faith is full of light, so it's pretty interesting. And then I rated another 4 out of 5 was Faith 1 and 2. This was the ongoing, which explored also Faith's identity being discovered by a cosplayer. So now your coworkers know, and also the cosplayer. She actually helps her build a new costume too. It had some great history with her. Number one, like giving flashbacks of what's happened prior. And then the villain, who is an actor who is a Hollywood hero. I mean, there's an actor that's a Hollywood hero who's the villain, and of this particular storyline. We have Batman 66 meets Steed and Miss Peel. I never read or watched the Avengers series, but these Batman 66 are really, really good and entertaining. But there were air attacks, but they were defeated by the Cybermen, and then they try to go undercover in London but fall into a trap. And they also introduced Mr. Freeze in this one. This one had maybe two or three Batman villains, and then the Cybermen, and the main villain was from the Avengers. It was pretty interesting. We have Glitter Bomb. I really enjoyed that, and I haven't read one since. But that was from Image. It was about an aging actress trying to get acting jobs, and she gets consumed by like this weird parasite entity that kills people. So we'll see where that goes. I like the setup. We had Frostbite number one. This was a DC Vertigo. It was post-apocalyptic Ice Age was brought upon. And there's a disease called the Frostbite that was developed by scientists. And one of the major characters in this book, the daughter, is, they're trying to find a cure, but one of the sci the one, I guess she's like a mercenary. She does not like the fact that this scientist created this disease, and that plays itself out. But they try to head towards a cure, and they have to get to Alcatraz to do it. He-Man and Thundercats number one. Worlds collide on Eternia. Mumm-Ra tries to take He-Man's sword. This was interesting, and it's by the same creator that did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman, artist Freddie Williams. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. I don't know squat about the Thundercats, but I do enjoy He-Man. And I never watched the cartoon. Like He-Man and G.I. Joe are something that I discovered, man, like in the 2000s. So you could see how far I'm at. And I never watched the cartoons. So like I discovered them totally through IDW and DC publishing these properties and enjoying them. Never bought the toys either. I never wanted to. Still don't. But I do like their comic books, so we'll see. Another 4 out of 5 was Aquaman. Atlantis invaded by a creature that turns out to be the Shaggy Man on his way to Amnesty Bay. This really, I like the way this played out. This has some cool moments. Mara starts training to be Arthur's wife with the women, and they keep predicting a dark future for her. We got Justice League number 6, which is a fear creature that turns. Wait. What did I do? Okay. Justice League number 6. A fear creature attacks Justice League. The Green Lantern saves the day, which is really weird. And Jessica and Barry go out on a date. So this one actually showed Baz and Jessica as being more legit than in their own book. So that made it interesting. We have Cyborg number 2. I've enjoyed this book. A lot of people have dropped off. We got Versus Kilgree, who I remember from the Wally West Flash. He saves his dad, but it's not really his dad, which is you'll learn what that being is, and that story arc is still playing out, so it's like a long ride for it. You got to be patient. We have Exo Man of War 45 and 46. This is Trilled takes over the Vine, and war breaks out between the Vine and Earth, And that plays out, and I just recently finished it, just so I could start EXO Manowar number one. Really good. We have Faster Than Light 4 and 5. The team recently saved Earth, but are trying to find new alien races. The first race rejects them. Second one is out to destroy a ship and steal it from them. They were saved by an alien race. I remember this, and that alien race kind of dissed them later, like, hey, we need to figure out if you really can be trusted. And then cat creatures were after the artifact they picked up. This is a really good sci-fi, and I hear it's done through software, like the art is. So it's a really interesting concept. Batman, it gives me hope that maybe I could do my own comic book without an artist someday. Batman 512, this one was probably for Gotham by Geeks, but it was Allie the Alligator Girl. I think it might have been coming from the Killer Croc trade. And three people did invade the Bat Cave. We have Shade the Changing Girl. This was a DC book, and it was a girl in a coma gets a meta vest, and she was left for dead, and she's back alive, and the whole thing is the mystery. Unfortunately for me, the mystery's unfolding slower than I'd like, and I enjoyed the early issues, and it's starting to lose me on the later. So you'll see this drop from a 4 to a 3 in future weeks. We got Divinity 2, number 2 through 4. This is the Russian Divinity teams with Putin to make Russia a main power again. She fights Divinity and dreams him of life, a battle between two when Divinity restores himself. But this is one of the female. There were three astronauts, and this is the middle cosmonaut woman. And I really enjoyed this series. This is. I haven't started three yet, but I've really enjoyed what it gives. There's a lot when you read Divinity, there's a lot to digest. So like you read it and then you'll walk away for a while and you'll think of various things later on about, that make you think. Matt Kent is really good at that. We had Death of Hawkman number one. Adam Strange cannot return home, and when he does, Ran is at war with Thanagar, and Hawkman is really, really badly injured. This actually turned into be like a buddy cop series. And I really enjoyed the banter between Hawkman and Adam Strange. We have a Dead Man, number 4 out of 5. This one went to a 5 out of 5. This one should have been a 5 out of 5. I don't know what I was thinking. But it was Dead Man, Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, a deluxe format book. And this one, they combined Dead Man with an old DC series, which I only have like 2 issues for, where they. It was Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love. And what it was is like Tales from the Crypt with romance. DC wrote a lot of romance ties, but this was like romance horror. And I really, 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 really liked it. Dead Man is drawn to a house, and there's a woman in there that can see him. And she's just there at this house while her husband works on this novel. And this house is haunted. It's really cool. And Dead Man can't leave the house for whatever reason. So we got, what else we got? Hopefully the recorder's still going. My machine fell asleep for a second. We have Batman number 660, Nightfall issue, which was Dixon Ballant. This was Robin captured by Bane and Bane versus Croc. Awesome. This was also in the Killer Croc trade paperback. We have from Aftershock. These are 5 out of 5s, by the way. Batman, starting with Batman 660. Rough Riders number 1. This was like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with a different type team, where Roosevelt forms a team of heroes to stop a war, and a lot of historical references. Really enjoyed it. Really good art. Really good execution. We got Batman: Vengeance of the Bane, which is the origin of the Bane by Chuck Dixon. Absolutely fantastic. We have Superman number 8. Jonathan takes a device and transports them into the war that time forgot. So if you If you read these comics books, man, like I did, they even have a showcase for him if you didn't, to get it in black and white, where they find the losers that died in New Frontier. Absolutely fantastic. Even if you just read New Frontier, you would get this reference. So highly recommended. So that's the books. Again, it was 35 because I forgot Zenoscope, and I'm typing it in right now so I can fix it. Zenoscope 1. I track all this stuff. And thank you for listening. If you get a chance, leave an iTunes review, and you can reach me on the Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch. My email is mike@comicbooknoise.com. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach me that way. And on Facebook, you could also go to Geek Brunch Podcast, where I post these Mike M's on there, and leave comments there. Or you could go to the website at geekbrunchpodcast.com. Hope to hear from you, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.